entertain you on a giant screen with a few colorful motion pictures you've been hearing about and reading
about. It's showtime, folks. Enjoy the show.
We're delighted to have you with us.
The Drive-In Theater.
You'll find something to please you to add to your evening's enjoyment.
It's pleased to bring you our Fifi feature presentation.
Good evening, everybody. What's going on? It is 8 o'clock Central Standard Time. It is Monday night. It is February 19th, 2024. You are tuned in to the Drive-In Speaker Box. It's a movie podcast. Guess what? You clicked on it. You downloaded it. You're streaming it. Well, I don't know how you found us, but you did. So welcome to the show. I'm your host, Bo, the Boom Operator.
On the grip.
And yeah, we've got a show for you tonight. If you guys are just joining us, thank you. If this is your first time tuning in, thank you. Don't forget to like and subscribe wherever it is you like to view our show, Facebook Live, YouTube Live, or where we like it, Twitch. We like it right in the Twitch. So you can subscribe or like us on Twitch. We start early. We have the Twitch pre-show, which has been going on for the past 40 minutes, almost as long as this podcast. So you can get in on double the action this Valentine's week. Wait, that's... Did you guys get double the action this Valentine's week? I know I didn't. What about you, Jake? You did probably, Mr. Girlfriend over here. But yeah, thanks for tuning in. This week, we're going to be talking about movies. I went and saw, speaking of Valentine's, One Love, which has nothing to do with Valentine's, but it has everything to do with Bob Marley. What about you?
I did a favor for a couple of our viewers because the Bob Marley movie was pretty much the only new movie, that or the caveman horror film. I watched The Iron Claw. I know that.
Oh, about time.
Yeah, we've had a couple of our...
Did you cry?
Dude, it was... I mean, it's a bummer movie. There's no shocker or spoiler alert there. It's a movie about brothers dying. So, yeah, I finally watched that because, yeah, I think Vince and Sam have both really been wanting me to watch that one. So,
well, we will talk about that
later. It was still in a local theater, so...
Okay, all right. Yeah, all right. I mean, there's a lot of crazy stuff that's playing in the theater. Like, Amelie is playing in the theater
right now.
Which is so good.
Mm-hmm, we had that at our AMC.
Dune 40th Anniversary is playing at our AMC this week. And did you see this thing this week, Jake? I wanted to go, but it was tonight. And I got really upset because it was at 7 o'clock, and of course I was here. I couldn't go to the movie. It was... AMC Screen Unseen, and it was at 7 o'clock tonight, and it said, join us for a movie that we're not going to tell you about. It's a never-before-seen movie. We're going to give you an advanced screening for $5, and then afterwards you have to ask, you know, answer some questions, and the only thing that we'll tell you is the rating, and it was PG, which, but... How cool is that?
That would have been a thing for us to do. That sounds cool.
That would have been
too
really
bad it's
fun.
On a Monday.
I know. I would have gone. But anyway, it's also President's Day.
That is.
You know, it's President's Day. And for those of us that live in Arkansas, it's also Daisy Gadsden Bates Day, which if you're familiar with your Arkansas history, that was the Little Rock High School with the segregation and the whole famous thing and the black and white photos and the backwards thinking. That,
black and white photos, black and white people.
Yeah, exactly. But for President's Day, we've been doing a little bit of drinking, or I've been doing a little bit of drinking. You know, it's President's Day. And I have a bottle of this Laird's Applejack, and you know, I should be. I wish I could tag like the Laird family because they're really great people. I've met Lisa Laird, who's a seventh generation, and her daughter. They're both great people. I have their phone number in my phone. They're just amazing human beings. But this is patent number one because George Washington, in 1698, William Laird was making this stuff in Monmouth, New Jersey. And then around 1760, George Washington got a hold of some of this stuff. And I was like, God damn, this is good. Because he was all cutting down apple trees anyway or whatever, right? And so he got the Laird family recipe, introduced Laird's Applejack into the Virginia colonies. But this is patent number one for the United States of America.
Well,
so
it?
We're going to do a shot of this.
You get to do it twice because look at that. Vince redeemed.
God damn. All right, I'm going to pour myself a Dooble. And there we go. I'm not going to shoot all... Ooh, I dropped the cap right in there. So it's like a tequila worm, but it's an Applejack cap. So cheers.
Cool. President's Day, there you go.
Awesome. It's not bad.
Not bad.
Not bad. Better than some of the swill they serve people at bars we've been to or that you work at. But hey.
Or bars that you own.
Yeah. No, we only serve the good stuff. At Pinpoint.
Where is it?
I'm wearing my hoodie, our well whiskey is allocated.
Okay.
It's from the Buffalo Trace Distillery.
There's a certain liquor from Chicago that's Malort? Just made to torture people.
Oh, Malort's Madness, mark your calendars. March 28th is coming up. So yeah, we're going to be doing Malort's Madness March 28th at Pinpoint. If you're in the Arkansas, Northwest Arkansas listening area, you can come check it out. I'll be serving up Chicago dogs and Chicago handshakes all day long.
Oh, hey, now we're talking.
Yep, good stuff. So, all right.
Talking, Vince is probably just like.
Shut up.
Picard facepalm.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's get into the news. You probably aren't surprised about this. Madam Web, not a lot of people are excited about it.
Yeah, man. I've seen nothing but how everyone hates it.
Yeah. Yeah. Not number one at the box office this week, which we'll talk more about in detail at the end of the show. But, you know, with these movies that keep coming out, like if you've been watching our show or listening to our show or whatever however you interact with our show, we called this. Like from the first bit of news about this to the first trailer to the 100 billionth trailer to today where it's out in theaters and been out for a weekend, we knew this was going to suck. Where along the chain of command in Sony did it get to this point? Did it get greenlit? Did a script get written? Did CGI people get on board? Did people get cast? Did they go, roll cameras? And then they were like, this is going to be a winner. And where were the us's that were like, guys, no. This is not going to be good. The only thing you really need to do is probably just churn out another Venom movie. Maybe do a Cosmic Spider-Man, because that seems like something that people would eat up. You've already done Spider-Verse. You can't. This is stupid.
Yeah, I think the introduction of Spider-Verse took away a lot of their ability to do cool spin-off Spider-Mans, because they've all already been portrayed on screen. You already have Spider-Man 2099, which apparently is like a butthole man or something.
He's a super butthole man.
I still haven't watched that movie. And
that movie ended so abruptly that it pissed me off.
Yeah, and I guess Spider-Man Noir, I saw a thing that, like, Nicolas Cage is going to be a live-action Spider-Man Noir, maybe?
Okay, fuck, I'd watch that.
Really? I don't know.
Dude, okay,
I need more Ben Reilly is what I need in my... I need the Scarlet Spider. I need, like, the jacked-out, like, Venom, or, like, the denim vest, like, Scarlet Spider with his web bullet.
But you're ignoring the two biggest words in the room, which are noir and Nicolas Cage. That's all I need. Sign me up. It doesn't even have to be Spider Noir. It could just be, you know, whatever noir Nicolas Cage. Give me a Nicolas Cage. Give me a hard-boiled noir Nicolas Cage.
Yeah, I'm sitting at the desk and, like, the girl and walking the into rings. His office. Yeah. She walked into my office like...
This dame came in and I was like, whoa!
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I would love that. Give it to me. Vince over on Twitch said Noirculus Cage. I'm down for that. 8mm was kind of noir. Yeah, that's kind of noir. That's why it was good, man. But yeah, Madam Web, no one's liking it. Big surprise.
You just take a look at her and tell she was no good. Like, yeah, okay. I can see like
I'm going to take the case.
Yeah, like a Nick Cage noir. What was that movie with old Wolverine in it that we watched? It was on streaming.
Hugh
and
Jackman?
We talked. Yeah, Hugh Jackman. He like laid in a pool and it was like a noir thing, but it was like in the future and he like was in like a dream pool.
Wait, that wasn't the movie that we were talking about where he was eating the bark of the tree and like ascended. It was from that graphic novel.
No.
That was like Darren Aronofsky or somebody.
You're talking about crap.
Yeah, you know
the sci-fi one from like 20 years ago,
which was good.
Yeah, based on this was like on HBO like 2 or 3 years ago. It was like a COVID movie.
Yeah, we watched it. I can't remember.
But it was a noir thing. He was like a noir detective. Dude, but it was noir, in like a flooded city.
Noir is cool, man.
Anyhow, yeah, like, Nicolas
Cage. Did you guys ever watch... Who out there liked Dark City as much as I did? Are you giving me the side eye sip that you didn't like Dark City?
No, I'm just saying you said it liked it as much as you...
The Fountain.
The Fountain's the one you're talking about. Talking. Yeah.
Dark City was a fantastic movie if you've never seen it. It's dark. It's noir-ish. It's a noir-ish sci-fi. Super, super good movie. And that guy that directed it went on to do another Nicolas Cage movie. It was like the one about the numbers. It was, I think it was called Knowing. And that movie sucked. And I was so mad because I was like, oh my God, he's coming back with another film. And
Reminiscence
was
the one.
Proyas, I think, was the director of that. Oh,
yeah,
that's
Reminiscence
right.
is the one I'm thinking of.
Yeah, well, anyway. What other, speaking of dark, gritty films, did you hear that Luc Besson, which, like him or love him, he's very hit or miss as a director and a writer. I like him just mainly because he just makes movies. Like, he's been making movies since he was like 12.
Yeah, but he's also like a weird French kid diddler.
Does he diddle kids?
He wants to. Like, the whole thing of...
I mean, he's weird and he's French. I get that.
The whole thing of Leon is taken from, like, a real part of his life.
But Leon's a good movie.
It is a good movie, but it's taken from a real thing of his life where
he was a hitman?
No.
And where Gary Oldman was there?
No, where he was into, like, a little girl.
Well, maybe that's, like, a French thing.
It might be. I don't know. No one ever, like, really got that mad at him about it, I guess. Because it was in the past.
Because
by the time
he also
wrote it.
Did Fifth Element. And,
he did.
And have you guys ever seen Subway? Like with Christopher Lambert. Like Subway's a pretty good movie.
I don't know if I have. I watched a lot of Christopher Lambert movies.
And like, what was it, Deep Blue? That's a pretty good one. But anyway, and Luc Besson, he is set to direct a Dracula, like another Dracula movie's coming out. Mm. More Draculas.
I did see about that. I didn't see that it was Luc Besson doing
it. Christoph Waltz is attached.
I saw Christoph Waltz, yeah. That's pretty good.
Blah.
Cool.
Like how would, can he be Dracula? Is Christoph Waltz going to be Dracula? I don't know.
I hope so. Unless he's Alucard, or if he's Van Helsing,
dude,
he'd be a good Van Helsing.
When are we gonna get an is Alucard just a Castlevania exclusive property?
I can't be,
because we need the Alucard movie. Alucard is like the coolest OG in the history of like Dracula vampire lore. Like Alucard fucks, you know.
I mean, people like Symphony of the Night the best for a reason.
Yeah.
You get to be Alucard.
The coolest dude with just like white hair, and he's so cool.
Yeah, it starts out, you're like chain boy, you know, and then you whoop Dracula or he beats you. It doesn't really matter, but then it's like, now you're Alucard, and you get to be awesome.
Dang. What are the things in the news? What did you have written down?
Well, talking about French weirdos, Dune is all over the news, huh?
Ooh la la.
But I sent this to you. It's not exactly movie related. They did have the Dune premiere recently, and everyone's like, "Oh yeah, Anya Taylor-Joy is in Dune."
But did you see the Zendaya like Hajime Soriyama like butt cheek like
it, that is exactly what it is. It's Soriyama.
It's so
outfit.
Soriyama.
It very much is.
Soriyama is one of my favorite like late 80s, cool early artist. 90s airbrushed Japanese artists. Like he I don't know how he got kind of forgotten by, you know, mainstream pop media, but this Soriyama is a prolific artist, right? And I feel like this outfit is not giving homage where homage is due.
When I saw Aerosmith in concert, I got the one of his Marilyn Monroe bot. Yeah, very cool.
Hajime Soriyama is so cool. But the only thing, I saw a meme that made me laugh a whole bunch where they were like showed the clear, like, you know, fishbowl butt cheeks of the Zendaya robot suit, and they're like, all I can think about is what if she just like ripped one and it steamed up.
Yeah, that would be really funny.
Oh yeah. Anyway.
And it bubbled all the way up the back of it and blew her hair at the top. That would be really funny.
So gross.
Well, in less fart oriented Dune news, the spice. That's how you get the power to travel space, is you inhale the spice. She was just producing the spice.
His ribs when her
spice
eyes
is
go
just
blue.
Sandworm doo doo. Spice is sandworm doo doo.
That's why those popcorn buckets look like buttholes.
Oh yeah. That's yeah. Well, speaking of Dune merch is what this is. Xbox has an exclusive Dune Series S.
Oh my god.
Did you look at the link?
Does it have a butthole on it?
No. Okay. But it slots into the back of an ornithopter.
Oh shit, that's kinda cool.
So it has like it's like a specially designed Dune case, right? It looks like the cover of the movie, and it slots into this ornithopter holder, and then the controller has a levitating platform that it charges
is it like
on.
Magnetic?
Yeah.
That's cool.
It is very cool. So that's out there to check out if you're like a big super Dune fan and want to spend all the money on an Xbox. It is pretty sick. But other than that, I don't know what it has, anything Xbox has to do with Dune. But talking about video games and media crossover, did you see the trailer that was released today for Power Washer Simulator? Looking at you, Vince.
Oh, Power Washer. I downloaded that.
Warhammer 40K expansion they've been talking about for 2 years.
What, do you like blasting tanks and stuff?
Tanks, ships, dreadnoughts. All the stuff.
And just cleaning them.
Yes. The trailer was released today. You're an Adeptus Mechanicus, and you're cleaning for the glory of the Emperor. Your enemy is dirt. And the whole thing is, since you're the Mechanicus, you're cleaning all of the things to appease the machine spirits in the ships and the dreadnoughts and the tanks and stuff like that. They found a way to make pressure wash part of like seamless Warhammer lore, and now that Warhammer is becoming so big with like Henry Cavill and Amazon and all that stuff, very cool. The way they it fits Warhammer lore perfect. You're like, oh, I guess someone does scrub.
Somebody
got to
clean off the guts.
Yep, exactly. So that got its release date and its trailer today. It comes out next week, the 27th. Is when that DLC is due. It joins SpongeBob, Final Fantasy VII, there's a Back to the Future. There's a lot of big media tie-ins for Power Washer Simulator.
That's
weird,
man.
It's ridiculous. But yeah, you can do Back to the Future, SpongeBob, and Warhammer 40K. Very cool for that game, if that's what you're into. So
non-video game related, but
Vince, you're the one that told us to get Power Washer Simulator, bro.
Yeah, that's true. Vince on Twitch, he's our Twitch mod, and also Discord mod. You can join in. He's probably gonna do a movie night tonight later if you're watching the show. Power Washer Simulator, that's your fault.
Not that particular expansion, but that's what got me to actually download it and play that one time.
So in movie-ish related news, did you guys see HBO? They're doing an adaptation of the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel The Sympathizer with Park Chan-wook attached to direct. We were just talking about Old Boy the other day, right? Mm. Robert Downey Jr., Park Chan-wook, holy crap, look out, like...
Is he the one that did the, what's the trilogy called?
The Sympathy, the Vengeance trilogy?
Vengeance, yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's Old Boy, Sympathy for Mr. Vengeance, and Lady Vengeance, and they're all great! Park Chan-wook is an amazing director. I'm excited about this, mainly because I'm excited about anything that... I mean, Robert Downey Jr., I give him a continuous pass because he does things like The Singing Detective. He does things like Kiss Kiss Bang Bang. Yes, he was Iron Man for a while. Wouldn't you be, you know, wouldn't you take that check from Disney? But then he was like, you got to kill me. I'm done. I can't keep doing this. Like, we're out. We're done. But you know, you get, I'm kind of excited about this. Hmm. So that trailer's out there. And then also in Joker news for douchebags that need boring Halloween costumes, the new Folie à Deux images that got released this week that have Joaquin Phoenix and Lady Gaga.
I totally forgot about that. Mm-hmm. It was nothing exciting.
No, it's just him and Lady Gaga.
Yeah, and her face is a lot bigger than his. Well, and
she's just a bigger person. She's cool.
All the images just made me feel weird because of how strange their faces are with their still photos up close.
Yeah, I'm not excited. The first Joker movie was cool and all. I feel like Joker is like the Fight Club of like intro into anarchy, right? And most people will watch this movie and not get the fucking purpose of movies like Fight. The director and the writer of Fight Club still get aggravated that so many people
like it
and don't understand why they're like, oh, not your khaki pants, and they're like, yeah, dude, and like completely missing the message.
Everyone talks about the Fight Club part, but no one talks about like the blowing up buildings part.
Well, or just the discourse on capitalism and consumerism and all of this kind of stuff that goes, whatever. In other news, X-Men 97.
All right.
You want to talk about that? Sure. The trailer didn't have that song.
Oh, really? You can't have X-Men and not have the X-Men opening.
Have you not seen all the memes where they took away Rogue's booty cheeks?
Dude, I gave up. You not
seen that?
I gave up on Marvel the moment that Disney purchased it.
So, Marvel.
I used to be the biggest X-Men fan in the world. In fact, to this day, my X-Men comic book collection weighs more than my car does.
Damn.
I need to go through and sell them.
Like a little clown car?
No, dude. I drive like a full-size real human being car. But I need to go through them and sell them because I don't read comics. But at a point in time, X-Men was cool. And then 2009 happened and they expanded it into like 100 different series. And it cost you $400 a month just to stay up on the X-Men storyline. And they changed all the characters and they made half the X-Men vampires. And I was like, I'm done. Disney has run away with Marvel. Yeah, exactly.
Well, I watched a trailer to this. X-Men 97 is supposed to like pick up where the 1990s animated X-Men left off, with shink shink bub Wolverine and like, to me, my X-Men, Cyclops, and a Beast that was actually cool, and Gambit that was actually cool. But everybody, the controversy online is like Rogue's booty has like been reduced.
Dude, it's a cartoon, bro.
I know, but it was a funny meme.
I haven't seen anything about it.
But I don't know. I watched the trailer. I guess Charles is dead and Magneto's taking over the school. And I don't know. The trailer, I was a minute and 30 seconds long. I don't have a lot of exposition here. But yeah, I don't know. I feel like it's just really trying to pander to millennials that like really want to revisit that time, but they're going to watch it and they go, it's not the same, because it's not the same. It's them trying to retap into something that was a moment in time that we can't revisit 30 years later or whatever,
Well, speaking of things from that time when we were growing up and the world had better media, you see that Repo Man 2 is a go.
Repo Man, like the one where they got organs out, and it was like, what was it, Forrest Whitaker? And
No. The Emilio Estevez.
I was about to say Emilio Estevez. Forrest Whitaker was in there for yeah.
Was he?
I don't know. Repo.
I'm thinking of the one with Jude Law. Yeah.
Yeah, Emilio Estevez.
Repo Man, not Repo Men.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. No, Repo Man with Estevez, but no Emilio this time.
Well, I would assume.
Yeah, Repo Man 2, The Wages of Beer is what it's going to be called. It is a go. That's all we know right now. So that's a thing. I don't know what they're going to do or how it's going to work or, making a sequel to a movie from the 80s 40 years later. So who's to say? Also, speaking of Beetlejuice news, Michael Keaton did an interview with People. And he did say that Beetlejuice 2 is full of practical effects, that he and Burton got together before filming and everything started, and both of them agreed they didn't want it to look computerized. They didn't want it to look fake. They wanted it to look handmade. So there is a plethora of practical, handmade effects, and that's perfect. Well, because no matter how bad people think that practical effects look like on the producer's side of things, dude.
We were talking about practical effects in the pre-show before you showed up today. And it's like all the jadedness that we have come to expect from CGI and all this kind of mess. And it's like, we understand, we've said this on the show a million times. It's like, we all know none of it's real, right? But a practical effect is legitimately and tangibly more real than CGI.
That's like, to me, the Rancor in Return of the Jedi still looks better than, like, you know,
because it almost was real.
Any CGI.
It was a thing that existed in real time. You could touch it, and it was there.
Yeah.
And that's cool.
Yeah, the stop motion, it trumps CGI, like, anytime, because the something like the Rancor of Return of the Jedi will always impress me way more than whatever CGI dumb thing that they put into a scene that just doesn't look real at all.
Speaking of Beetlejuice, before I get off topic, I don't even know if I'm supposed to say this out loud, but I know they're not going to know. No one's going to know because they're not going to see this podcast. But on my other show that I do later, that I co-host with Jason Sewell, we interviewed the people from Walton Arts Center this year for an episode that's going to air in March, right? And they announced the 2025-2026 season. Guess what's coming in September? Beetlejuice. The Broadway Beetlejuice. It's great. I've seen it on Broadway. It's super fun. So, and Back to the Future. Dude, it's going to be a good season. You didn't hear it from me, but when season tickets go on sale, these are the Broadway productions of some really cool things. You can see Beetlejuice on stage and then see Beetlejuice 2 when it hits theaters. Like, oh man, that's going to be a good combo. Beetlejuice on stage was so much fun.
Yeah?
Yeah. Saw it on Broadway in New York. Very cool. I highly recommend it. So when those tickets go on sale, I recommend you guys getting some because, dude, the Walton Arts Center, like, I have turned my nose up at that shit for the past two seasons and for reasons that if you live in Northwest Arkansas, you'd know.
Man, I really wanted to go see Tina, though, and I didn't get to.
I saw Les Mis, and that was really good. I saw Trey Kennedy. He was really funny.
The feet are so expensive, and I just can't
ever. It is, but it's so worth it, though. Velvet Santa on Twitch says, a no Porky's musical. Could they just have a song called God Damn It, Will You Move It, You Lard Ass? Like, that's the, you know.
Well, how are they going to wheel in the wall and have an actor stick their dick through
it? Right. Here, chicky, chicky. I'm Polly the Penis, and I just love to have fun. Like, yeah, you didn't think I could. Like, I don't know how my brain retains the things that it retains, and I feel that it's like Laird's Applejack that bring popcorn tricked my heart. That popcorn trick was actually from that Tom Hanks movie. That was a different movie. Shit, what was the name of that movie? Because it wasn't there was a horse. Ah, well, I'll think of it. Where he put the penis in the popcorn.
Have you Tom Hanks?
Well, he did Bachelor Party. Yes.
Oh, thank Bachelor you. Party.
Yeah.
I don't remember that part. I remember him driving the bus and them having the hotel. Bachelor Party's a good movie.
I don't know if it ages as well as you think it does.
It's still fun.
Vince, can you add that to the list of movies to be in the possible Discord streaming movie watch night? Can we add Bachelor Party to that?
Dude, Bachelor Party's a pretty it's a fun movie. Hey, talking about dudes from that time. With the announcement of the Fantastic Four cast, and it was one of the people that everyone thought it was going to be because it was what everyone wanted to be. Reed Richards will be played by Pedro Pascal.
Okay.
And then you have three.
A comedy Reed Richards.
And then you have three people that no one knows. The Invisible Woman's being played by the chick that's in Mission Impossible for like a forgettable minute. She was in.
Wait, which
the blonde chick that in the most recent Mission Impossible they like fake her face.
I thought you were gonna talk. I can't remember her name, but the girl that was in the cocktail dress. Like, oh my god, Be Still My Beating Heart. Like,
what?
She's so attractive.
She played the little sister in Hobbs and Shaw.
No, not that one. Oh man, hang on. I got a Dead Reckoning Part 1. Let me pull
right
some
there,
stuff
Vanessa
out.
Kirby.
No.
Yeah, she's the Invisible Woman.
That's not what I want.
And then a couple of people, up and comers or whatever. I guess Hugh Laurie would have been a good Mr. Fantastic. The dude from the first Fantastic Four, or well, the Fox Fantastic Four, the 2000s was great at being Reed Richards. But yeah, we got Pedro Pascal, and then also Ben Mendelsohn said that in a GQ interview that he wishes that, or he would like to be Doctor Doom.
What?
Yeah.
Okay.
Now that he's no longer playing a Skrull in Marvel, he wants to be out of the Skrull makeup and behind a Doctor Doom mask.
Well, because no one cares about the Skrulls anymore. Everybody loves Doctor Doom.
Yeah. Well, I mean, do we need Doctor Doom? I mean, I guess you have to have Doctor Doom when you have Fantastic Four, but it's like Batman. It's like, why does Batman always have to have the Joker? Fantastic Four, can't they have something besides Doctor Doom in their first outing again? Because they've had Doctor Doom in each one. The Chris Evans Fantastic Fours, they both had Doctor Doom as the bad guy.
Mm-hmm. And it was that guy from like Nip Tuck.
Yeah. And then the most recent attempt at Fantastic Four with Miles Teller and...
I forgot about
and,
that.
And what's his name? Yeah. Creed. Ooh. Michael B. Jordan.
Michael B. Jordan.
Whatever the hell that movie was supposed to be, it also had a Doctor Doom. Like, come on, man. Why always roll out like the big bad with the team? I liked the way that Fox did their Fantastic Four, is the Chris Evans one, where Doctor Doom got his powers the same way that Fantastic Four got their powers. Because in the comics, Doctor Doom was like half Romani.
He had gypsy
magic plus science. Mm-hmm. So he combined his gypsy magic, which is what they called it in the comics. This isn't me saying this is the comic book.
Don't cancel us.
He combined his Romani magic with science, and that's why he was Dr. Doom. He was legitimately a doctor, just like Reed Richards was a doctor, and they were roommates, and Dr. Doom combined his magic and his science, and it scarred him for life or whatever. But in the movie, they're like, no, they were on a space station. Fantastic Four got their powers in space. Well, Dr. Doom also got his powers in space. And
just
I really
got different space powers.
I actually liked that, because instead of him being
a magical gypsy. And,
yeah, instead of him being like Borat gypsy magic, he actually like got his powers the same way, which was really good.
He just had different ideals.
Yeah. So I just, you don't always have to go with the big bad. Bring in Fin Fang Foom or something like that.
Seems even more cancelable.
He's a dragon.
Yeah.
But he's not a real dragon. He's from space.
But he's Fin Fang Foom, and he has the mustache. And he's...
But that's his name on his planet.
I know, but I mean, if you go back and you, I mean, it's doesn't age well. It doesn't, I mean, Fin Fang Foom is pretty cool, but it also kind of has big Mickey Rooney vibes from Breakfast at Tiffany's. I am bad guy. Fing fing boom. You're like, no, we can't have that here.
How many movies was Mickey Rooney that character in? There's like 24 movies where he plays that character.
One too many. That's what I'll say. Well, we need to talk about what movies
are not a real dragon. Oh yeah, all right, last bit of movie news. We got James Bond stuff. Shah Rukh Khan was in an interview, and they asked him if he would be like a villain in Bond, and he said he always wanted to be James Bond. And I think Shah Rukh Khan would be a super badass James Bond.
Of course you think that Shah Rukh
Khan. Have you ever seen a Shah Rukh Khan movie?
Yes, I've seen a Shah Rukh Khan
movie. Okay, well then there we go. But he said,
talk about a billion of them.
But he said that he's more likely for them to make him the bad guy because he's brown enough. So that's out there if you want to read that interview. That was in Collider. But the producer of James Bond, Barbara Broccoli, did an interview with Deadline, and she said that there is nothing that she can tell you about the next Bond film. There's nothing. Nothing is happening yet. She was like, nope, Not a thing. Not one thing's going on. So
Give me more Mission Impossibles. I don't care about Bond anymore.
That's true. Mission Impossible was good. Not enough people watched the last one. It was pretty good. I need the next one. I need it. I like Mission Impossible. We like Mission Impossible movies.
They are good.
I think that's it for my movie news.
Okay, well, let's talk about what's coming out in theaters this week, because there's not a whole lot. There's two that I want to talk about. Well, three, I guess. There is the Final Fantasy movie, Advent Children, which is a re-release from 2005. We talked about this a little bit. It's getting a re-release. You can check it out if you want to. Also, in that weird sort of Funimation Fathom Events sort of deal, Demon Slayer, Kimetsu no Yaiba, the Hashira Training, a movie that's coming out because the past two have done so well in box office that they're dropping another one. I'm a season behind in Demon Slayer, so I got some catching up to do, so I don't know if I'm going to go see this, but that's coming out in theaters this weekend. But probably the big one. Go ahead, what?
I was going to say the Demon Train. Was that the last one?
Mugen Train. No, that was not the last one. There was like the Entertainment District one came in after.
Well, I remember the train one.
I saw Mugen Train.
You talked about theater. It. Yeah.
It was awesome.
It set like big anime records for the U.S. release.
Yeah, it was good. We'll see what happens with this one. But probably the bigger movie that's coming out is from Ethan Coen. You know, maybe you've heard of the Coens, but this is Drive Away Dolls. And you've probably seen the trailer. It's Margaret Qualley and Geraldine I'm going to let you take that name there.
Miss Wandathon?
Yeah, thank you. And Beanie Feldstein, you've seen her. She's always like the awkward, like, I mean, that's how she made her career, is the awkward, heavyset girl that's like really funny. Yeah,
Jonah Hill's little sister. She was in What We Do in the Shadows.
Yeah, she's great. She's really funny. I feel bad that she plays the same character all the time. Pedro Pascal's in it. Matt Damon has a cameo. A lot of people in this movie, but it's about this girl, Jamie. She regrets her breakup with her girlfriend, while Marion needs to relax. In the search of a fresh start, they embark on an unexpected road trip to Tallahassee, and things quickly go awry when they cross paths with a group of criminals that are...
Oh, I saw the trailer for this.
They decide to go rent the same car that was supposed to be like a pickup car. So they
accidentally end up with the package.
With the package, and then all hell breaks loose.
Yeah, the trailer for this looks god-awful.
But the thing that I'm worried about is this is not a Coen Brothers film. This is just Ethan Coen, right? And, the Coens, they can write some movies, man. I mean, Lady Killers is good. No Country for Old Men. Burn After Reading. True Grit.
Hey, Hail Caesar, hey.
Fargo.
Take that True Grit bullshit out of here, bro. There's only one True Grit.
I mean, it wasn't terrible. Oh, Brother, Where Art Thou? Big Lebowski. Fargo. Hudsucker Proxy. Barton Fink. Raising Arizona. I mean, there's a lot of stuff there that they're involved with. The Coens have a fantastic repertoire of movies that give preface to this could be good. So I'm not throwing it out the window yet. It looks kind of fun. It could be interesting. I feel like the Coens do what, and this might be a little controversial. I don't know if I'm going to say it.
Well, while you're thinking about it.
No, I'm not. Should I say it? I think that the Coens do Tarantino better than Tarantino does Tarantino.
I like how you're like that meme. I'm just going to say it. I'm going to say it right now.
Because, like, you look at Tarantino movies, and I feel like Tarantino has lost his way in a lot of his movies.
Yeah.
And his writing used to be so good, and it was all these sort of happenstantial things. And the Coens keep doing it well, and Tarantino hasn't done it well in a while. Like the last movie, what was it? The Hollywood, Farewell to Hollywood, and One Night in Hollywood, like Love Letter, Jerk Off in My Face to Hollywood, like whatever that movie was, with Brad Pitt and Leonardo DiCaprio, One Night in Hollywood, or
Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
There it was. Thank you. Like it was. I feel like he copped out by making the movie one of those meta Hollywood movies, and that's why. But the Coens keep managing to get it okay. But he also co-wrote this with Trisha Cook, and who also worked on Oh Brother, Where Out There and Barton Fink in Fargo. So we'll see. What'd you have?
No, I'm thinking about what you said, and the Big Lebowski is like a better version of what Tarantino does.
It's like all the movies that Tarantino wants to make, but he can't quite nail it.
Because I don't like Tarantino movies.
Yeah, I know. I mean, it's
like, and like Big Lebowski or something like that is a better version of what Tarantino does. I think you're right. I think you're right on that. Yeah.
And Movie Alvaro on Twitch, he just said he just rewatched Grindhouse. And Grindhouse is another one of those movies. Like, I, like, what was it? Death Proof, I thought was, you know, was the better movie of the Grindhouse.
Yeah, the Robert Rodriguez. Robert Rodriguez does Tarantino better than Tarantino does, too. And yeah. And Tarantino guest stars in Robert Rodriguez movies just to get killed, which is fun. Doesn't he get murdered in the bathroom in Desperado?
He does something creepy and then gets murdered.
Like he's in Desperado and his face he just gets blown off in the toilet of Cheech's bar or whatever. Well,
I will say the Tarantino movie that I will come back and defend him on is that, what is it, Hateful Eight? Like the
people didn't like that one.
I did. Like, did you watch the extended version?
No, I haven't. I've never watched that movie.
It
because the only part of that movie I would care about is Kurt Russell. I don't like Tarantino. I've seen way too much Sam Jackson in my life, and the whole thing of like everyone at like a snowed in bar, but they're all trying to kill each other thing. I didn't.
So here's
there was no interest. Kurt Russell was my sole interest in that whole movie.
Well, that's the kicker. That's what you get. I will say that Hateful Eight Uncut, like the director's cut, is really good. But if you want to see a better version of Hateful Eight, watch Ravenous. Mm. Ravenous is a fantastic movie about being trapped in a cabin with a Wendigo.
Velvet Santa says they legitimately destroyed an 1800s guitar on that set. That's despicable.
I like how many mind, like Zimmerhammer on Twitch just said, damn, you blew my mind with that comment because it's true. And you know, hey, sometimes we say some true stuff. Anyway, that's what's coming out in theaters this week. You can check it out. I will probably see that movie that I was just telling you about, the Drive Away Dolls.
Vince said on accident about the 1800s guitar thing. That reminded me a bit of movie news. The whole thing of Rust, the onset shooting of Rust.
Yeah,
it was in the news. They're going to allow them to talk about the props master or whatever, the armorer's drug use in the trial now, which it's like whoever was on drugs the whole time. Yeah, Alec Baldwin keeps being like the, because he has the name,
fall guy,
and he was the one holding the gun, but yeah, the armorer and the prop master
on drugs.
Yeah, and they're like one of them was on drugs or both of them. Yeah, this,
okay guys,
it's insane that Alec Baldwin's even in any sort of trouble whatsoever on that situation.
Oh man. Well, yeah, I want to keep up with that one. Okay, I have to review this movie. We have to talk about Bob Marley, One Love. I went and saw this movie. I got to review this before the freaking show is over. Bob Marley, you've seen the trailers 100,000 times.
Yes, it's too many times.
Director Ronaldo Marcus Green. It is starring Kingsley Ben-Adir, who is amazing in this role. The cast, you know, one of the only complaints that I have about this movie is if you've never had a Jamaican friend in your life, I had the privilege of having, shout outs to my buddy Quincy, who got me completely used to Jamaican dialect. Mm-hmm. I don't know how anybody would understand what these people are saying, because Jamaicans, the way that they talk, the way that they use words, it doesn't make a lot of sense unless you hear it a lot. And by the end of this movie, it starts to make sense. But they needed some subtitles for this movie just because, you know, Rastafarians and Jamaicans, they have this way of speaking that if you've never heard it, it's not going to make any sense to you. And I compliment this movie on being authentic to that, because this cast, like Lashana Lynch, who plays Rita Marley, you've got all the Wailers that are there, like all of these tertiary cast members that are speaking in very thick Jamaican. It feels very real. It feels very authentic. When a lot of biopics, you know, they're like, I'm Freddie Mercury and I'm the guy from Queen, you know, and you're like, you look like him, yes, but you're not like really embodying all the mannerisms. Like biopics have a hard time of doing that. Or like Napoleon, where you go, I'm Joaquin Phoenix and I'm Napoleon. And then somebody else is like, Jacques Le Bleu Napoleon. And he goes, I don't think so. Let's shoot cannons. You know, and it's this weird juxtaposition between, you know, what we understand from celebrity and what we view as Americans versus the cultural reality of what's going on in here. So One Love, it takes place in about 2 years of Bob Marley's life, right? Bob Marley, this movie opens up where he's already established in Jamaica as a prolific recording artist. He's one of the most popular people in Jamaica, and he gets assaulted in his home. He gets shot.
That's where it starts out?
Yeah. Like, and he's supposed to be playing this concert, and he's like, no, we have to leave Jamaica. And we have, you know, I want to protect my family. We got to get out of here. There's gang wars. There's violence. We got to get out of here. So he goes to the UK. He goes, you know, and then he records. It's about when he records Exodus. And Exodus, I know you're not a big Bob Marley fan, but Exodus.
I don't like reggae, dude.
Exodus is an unbelievable album. Like, as a DJ that I, you know, I used to be a performing DJ, to do all the things as a music aficionado. Exodus is an like, I think Time Magazine named it one of the most important albums of all time. Like, it's so freaking good. And it's about the process of recording that album, how he achieved superstardom, but also was trying to, like, balance the life of with fame and his family, and then returning to Jamaica and trying to return to his roots and spread the word of peace, like, and getting kind of screwed over by one of his publicists over a thing to Jamaica or Africa. And my complaint about this movie, though, is that it's hard to follow the timeline. It's hard to follow when things are happening because it really only takes place in about two years, because it's like, I think the movie starts off in 1977 and I died in 81, right? You know, so it doesn't cover there a lot of his youth. Well, not even a lot of his youth. Some of his youth is covered in vignettes and flashbacks and memories as he's processing, like, how he wants to move forward with this, like, mega fame that he has achieved. And then it all culminates into this final concert where he returns to Jamaica and, like, reunites these people and creates peace. It's good. It's a good movie. I will say it's a good movie. It's a little hard to follow, and you don't really get a sense of how Bob Marley came to be, because the movie starts out as Bob Marley's already Bob Marley. You know what I mean? And it, you know, his family produced the movie, you know, Ziggy and the rest of his brothers and sisters, like, were in, you know, very hands-on. They're all listed as executive producers along with Brad Pitt. But the music's fantastic. And Vince just said on Twitch, he said, I heard it's a very sanitized, family-approved version. Is that accurate? Yes.
Kind of like the Queen one then, because it was the Freddie Mercury, but it was the rest of the Queen band was the producers on it, and, like, Brian May was the one that had all the say and stuff. So when they tried to get too real, he was like, back that shit off.
Well, and you know, they dabbled only a little bit in the problems that fame and fortune bring, especially in the late 70s with the music industry. Like, you can't tell a story from the 70s and 80s in the music industry without some horrible, rotten shit happening. Like, one of the things that we talk about a little bit on the show from time to time is the concept of celebrity. And now that we live in a world where you know, all celebrities under a microscope, you can't really escape social media and, like, did you hear this? Did you see this? Back in the 70s and 80s, anything went, man. If it was behind closed doors, it was behind closed doors, you know, and you hear about these people that we love and we worship, and they're like, oh, they made all these amazing songs. God knows what insanity that they got up to, you know, because who's going to know? And when there's infinite wealth, infinite power, infinite opportunity, and zero chance of people finding out, like, You don't know how many children the Beatles had sex with.
What?
That's what I'm saying.
What?
You know?
No.
I mean, but yes,
the
no.
Beatles.
The Beatles. The no. Beatles.
George Harrison would not do anything
I'm
like
sure
that.
I'm sure there was some sexy British 14-year-olds that ran in there, and he was like, fancy a tug on your sausage, me love. And like, no. He's like, all right. I have a spot of tea. You know, like that shit was probably crazy and awful, and they were doing drugs, and it was the, you know, it was the Austin Powers, like, it's getting Randy, baby. You know, like, ugh.
George Harrison wouldn't do that, man.
That's you don't know this.
John Lennon wouldn't do that.
You don't know this.
Weird Grandma Paul McCartney might. I don't know, but.
Ringo probably did.
No. You can't hate on Ringo. Ringo's like the coolest one because he's just like, I'm making millions, doing nothing. Yeah, dude.
It's me. But yeah, I don't know. The when you sanitize, so Vince asked, did they get into his cancer at all? That's what I wanted to see. Marley thought some doctor gave him an injection with cancer. They didn't get into that part. They did get into him discovering that he had cancer through a foot injury on stage, and he wouldn't go to the doctor. And he finally went to the doctor, and they said, why is this toe injury not healing? The doctor's like, well, turns out you got cancer, bruh. And that's why your shit's not healing. And, you know, I've read some articles since then because he had melanoma that if he had just diagnosed it early and got the treatment that he needed, that probably wouldn't have been an issue. But, you know, it's one of those things that we'll never know. So anyway, I will say if you are a fan of the Exodus album, if you're any sort of fan of Bob Marley, go see this movie because Kingsley Benadir does an amazing job with his performance. And he was like right along Ziggy the whole time, like because Ziggy's a producer. He was very hands-on on guiding the cast through authentic performances. And I think that they embody those characters very well while maybe embellishing some of the facts of the story to make it stay in a better light, but it's fun. So yeah, I really enjoyed it. I had a good time watching this movie. I recommend it. It's the number one movie, like it was the biggest movie to ever open in Jamaica in the history of movies in Jamaica, which
well, that
seems
makes sense.
Logical, but it's also the number one movie in the United States this weekend, which Jake's gonna cover here in just a minute. So Bob Marley won love.
Yeah.
Okay, so with that said, oh, well, you had a thing?
I was just going to say real quick, I watched Iron Claw.
Oh, that's
for,
right.
For the
oh, my
boys
God. We talked about too much comic book shit.
Everyone that's been wanting me to watch Iron Claw, it's cool. I mean, it's been out forever. I finally watched it. I submitted myself to the depression-inducing film that is Iron Claw. It's the story of the Von Erich wrestling family, the doomed and cursed Von Erichs. And that's exactly what you get. You get a story about brothers and the oldest of them watching them all die and pass away, minus one that it doesn't show in the movie. Thanks, Zimmer Hammer. It's what you get, man. It's a very cool movie. It gives you pro wrestling. It tries to make it – it's weird because it tries to make wrestling a very real contact sport. At times where everyone's like, oh, what are you doing? Or like, I can't believe you did that. But at the other times, it shows them talking about the moves they're going to hit and talking about the scripted reality of wrestling and how it's predetermined and stuff like that. So it seems like they couldn't figure out if they wanted to portray wrestling as real or as predetermined. That's wherever. It's mainly a love story with the oldest brother and his wife, which they've been married for like more than 40 years in real life. You get to see that kind of stuff, but you do watch all the brothers die. It is depressing. Not a bad movie, not a great movie. I don't think it's worth all the praise that it's been getting. All the deaths of the brothers occur in very short order, and you don't get to like really know or get attached to them long enough for it to impact you the way that it should. I think they focus a little too much on their parents being real douchers, which they weren't exactly in real life. I mean, their dad was kind of tough on them for sure, kind of a total doucher, but not like a total doucher. I don't know. It's tough.
A medium doucher.
Yeah, a medium doucher. You know, it's not a bad film at all. It's an entertaining movie and is a first foray into the world of wrestling or learning about things that really happen to people in pro wrestling. it's fun, but all the portrayals of some of the other wrestlers, like the most on-screen time by any other wrestler is Ric Flair, and he is not Ric Flair. The dude that does Bruiser Brody, really good. You get to see MJF for a second, which was a lot of fun. He was an executive producer on this. Overall, not bad. I'm not upset with it, but it's also not the best movie about wrestling either. So definitely not a feel-good movie. But if you want to watch something and feel something, and
you're it is not, a feel movie, yeah, not a feel good movie.
You're not too used to the true story. Like I watched it with my girlfriend, and she was crying and very like, what the hell? And I was like, that's not what really happened. It was way worse than that.
So you, cry harder, yeah, damn it!
No, like there were things that like as I watched it, I knew was coming, and things that for her it was like a very like. Here's a reality check. So that might be part of it too. It's still out in theaters for right now, limited showings. It's also available on streaming. Mm-hmm. You can watch it on Amazon and one or two other streaming platforms. So it's there. Not bad.
Okay. Well, all right.
I finally watched it for the boys.
We got Iron Claw popcorn bucket. It's just a coffin.
Wow.
Sorry. All right. Well, let's get into this box office roundup while we still got time. President's Day weekend, February 16th through 19th, 2024. Somebody in the chat there, I can't remember who it was, said that it was one of the lowest President's Day weekends since 1995.
There was nothing to watch. The Bob Marley movie was the only movie out there.
It was, Chosen.
Yeah,
episodes 4 through 6,
or the caveman horror movie, which when looking it up, it was, you know, it always tells you if it's in a foreign language. It was listed as artificial language with English subtitles,
which I kind of want to see.
Yeah,
but yeah. Anyway, so the February 16th through 19th, 2024, we're going to start with the number 10 movie in America. We're going to work our way up. Jake's going to tell you what made movie, what didn't, and number 10. Let's go.
With just looking over it real quick, the artificial language movie is not in the top 10, so bummer for it. But coming in at the number 10, the new Russell Crowe movie, Land of Bad, $2.1 million brought in by that.
Terrible name for a movie, by the
way. Yeah, it was unattractive on the screen looking for what movie I wanted to watch on my phone screen. Coming in at number 9 in its second week, at one you talked about last week, Lisa Frankenstein. Just under $2.5 million, bringing its domestic total up to $8 million.
I think they thought it was going to do a lot better.
They might have, yeah, not so great there. At number 8, Anyone But You, $2.8 million on its Valentine's special release, is how it was advertised.
I'm good. I'm glad it's in number 8. Get this movie out of here.
It stayed in theaters. It didn't go anywhere, but it was given the like second, like the subtitle of Valentine's release or re-release or whatever. $2.8 million brought in by $85.1 million in its 9 weeks out. Not bad for
so
that.
So much. It's made so much money.
$189 million across the globe. So yeah, over $100 million worldwide and extra. And then at number 7, 6 weeks out from MGM, The Beekeeper, $3.8 million, bringing it up to $60.5 million in the U.S., $144 million across the globe. Not so bad. And then at number 6, cutting the list in half here, The Chosen, Season 4, Episodes 4 through 6. So if you watched Episodes 1 through 3, it was time to watch Episodes 4 through 6. And this one has made more, I think, than 1 through 3. $3.95 million with an extra day or two in there, it looks like.
So
$4.7 million brought in by The Chosen, Episodes 4 through 6. In the Fathom event release. Good on them. And like we've talked about, money. That's all profit because that's a crowd-funded show. So that's just them killing it right there, getting church-going folks into the theater. And then at number 5, never leaving theaters, in its 10th week, Wonka, $4.3 million. It's in 2,400 theaters still, $210.74 million brought in by Wonka in the U.S. alone, $606 million across the globe. God. What the hell? Is Timothée Chalamet really that big of a draw? Because that movie is chocolate turds. But whatever. Number four, Migration, also just hanging in there. Will it ever migrate away from theaters in its ninth week out? $5 million brought in by $116 million in the U.S. Wow, unbelievable. I can't even imagine how that happened. $256 million across the world.
That's a lot of money.
Jeez, man.
Vince on Twitch, he asked, do you guys know what number 15 is? Is it just hype movie for the short films? So number 15 in the box office was a 2024 Oscar-nominated short films. And this is something that some theater chains do. I know Regal does it sometimes. AMC does it sometimes. Well, they'll do their Oscar collections. And the shorts are something that they'll air at once. And I think it was shown in 375 theaters nationwide, where they take all the nominated shorts and they just air it in a one ticket. And so that's...
We've had that scene at our local theater a time.
We've had it a few years, yeah.
Yeah. It's not always there, but once or twice. And then coming in at number three, Argyle, and its third week out, $5.75 million. It's brought in 37.5 in the U.S., 77.5 across the world. Bummer for it, almost a month in, and it's barely brought in any dollars at all. Mm-hmm. That one will probably skyrocket on streaming. What is it, Apple Plus or
yeah?
Something?
When it hits streaming, it's going to do well.
And then. Opening at number two, which it's surprising that it even opened that high, but I guess it's just new material. $18 million brought in by Madam Web, and since it opened
it was
on
in the
Valentine's,
most theaters. It was in the most theaters nationwide by a long shot.
Sure, Sony had the dollars to do it. It opened on Wednesday also. It opened on Valentine's. It didn't open for the weekend. $26.2 million total by that one, 52 across the globe. That's not a strong opening for a comic book movie where they probably need to make at least 200.
Where it has spiders on it.
Yeah, exactly. But then topping it, coming in at number one in the domestic box office.
Also opening on Valentine's Day.
Oh, did it?
Yeah.
Okay, I thought it was a Friday opening. That makes it a little less impressive, but still.
Bob Marley. Look at the total gross.
Yeah, Bob Marley, One Love, brought in $34 million over the weekend. $52 million for its release since Valentine's, and $81 million across the globe. Yeah, how much of that was from Jamaica?
I mean, probably
a
lot.
Like the whole country watched a movie.
Me guan, spend me money on it. So, dude, I know how to speak, but I can't do it.
Joe Black, where he talks to that lady in the hospital or whatever.
Yeah.
It ain't gonna be I.
Well, when you know, there are words and inflections and tones that they say that mean different things. Like they say something, the I and I, when you hear somebody say I and I, because they don't speak you, me. They say I and I because they speak together, and that's just a thing. And it's like, if it's not like you don't go, oh, you're just making fun of it. That's just a word that they use that we don't, because it means something different. It's like wabi-sabi, the idea of wabi-sabi. It's not an idea that we have over here, but, you know, you got to, if you're going to explain it, you have to say wabi-sabi, because it's just, that's what it means. So, yeah, made a lot of money. Okay.
Did Red Velvet send his happy thoughts?
Okay. All right. Well, do we have any other final thoughts? Is that it? Are we done? Did we do the show? Is that...
No, I think that's it. I'm shocked that a reggae movie was number one, but at the same time, there was nothing else. And I'm surprised to see that caveman horror movie is not even in the top 20. It didn't look like...
Know.
Yeah, we looked at towards the bottom of the list for that number 15 on the shorts, on the Oscar-nominated shorts.
Yeah,
and,
it was... let me see. What was the name
of
that movie?
If I see the title, I'll be able to tell you. It's not there.
It was like... I mean, it's down there. I think it's gone.
It just released. It's brand new.
It didn't get... Anyway, whatever. Well, we'll figure it out. But anyway, that's our show. Thanks for tuning in. Don't forget to like and subscribe. Follow us wherever it is you like to subscribe. Facebook Live, Twitch Live, YouTube Live. We like Twitch. You can tune into the Twitch pre-show. But if you don't want to leave, you want to stick around, you want to have more movies, you want to have more Drive-In Speaker Box time, Vince over our Twitch mod is all, he hosts live. What?
Out of Darkness.
Out of Darkness. Is that still in?
Yeah, I'm not even
seeing it. It must have just gotten booted out. But Vince is hosting a watch-along movie right after the show. You can find us over on that Discord. Link will be dropped into the chat. It's on our info description if you want to follow us on our Discord and get a part of that. But otherwise, we will be back next week. I'm going to try and see Madam Web, and I'm going to try and see the drive away dolls, and you know, talk about it next week. So
I'm going to try and hunt for a decent foreign film if it's going to be out in theaters at all.
All right. Well, we'll see you guys next week. Thanks for tuning in. I am Bo, the Boom Operator.
None the grip.
We'll see you later.
As you leave the theater, folks, please be careful. Don't let this happen to your car. Be sure to remove the speaker before you leave. If you should accidentally pull a speaker loose, please turn it in at our snack bar or box office. Thank you.